Our scripture lesson this morning is one of the most familiar passages in the entire Bible. Even if the only reason you're here this morning, you don't normally come to church, and the only reason you're here this morning is because maybe a friend has been hounding you to be here, and they promised to take you to lunch after this is over, even if that's you, you probably will recognize this passage of Scripture we're going to read this morning. In fact, if you've been to very many funerals, I know you've heard it because it's often used at funerals. But this is much more than a funeral text. I hope that's one of the things we walk away with today, is that the knowledge, the realization that Psalm 23 is much more than a funeral passage. And despite the fact that the words of Psalm 23 are so familiar, I hope that today the Spirit would meet us as we look at this passage and we might see this psalm with new eyes. And just a bit of background, Psalm 23 was written by King David, who, you will remember, before he became a king, was a shepherd. He tended his father's sheep when he was just a little boy. And so he's very familiar with sheep and shepherding. As we read this today, you're probably going to recognize, most of us, if we know this passage, we know it in the King James Version. Is that true? If you know this passage, you can read this passage in other than Old English translation, okay? And so that's what we're going to do this morning. We're going to read it from the New Living Translation, and hopefully, as we do so, we'll see it with new eyes. So here it is, Psalm 23. I'll begin reading with verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. He lets me rest in green meadows. He leads me beside peaceful streams. He renews my strength. He guides me along right paths, bringing honor to His name. Even when I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid, for You are close beside me. Your rod and Your staff protect and comfort me. You prepare a feast for me in the presence of mine enemies. You honor me by anointing my head with oil. My cup overflows with blessings. Surely Your goodness and unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will live in the house of the Lord forever. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So here's how I'd like for you to help me this morning. I'd like for you to turn to a couple people around you and deliver this message. The message is, bah. Bah. I have some news for you this morning. I am not really your pastor. Neither is Laura Allen. We're just stand-ins. We're surrogates. We're like step pastors. We're not your real pastor. Have you ever paid close attention to that word pastor? It's very similar to another English word, the word pasture. You know what a pasture is. It's a open field, a meadow where livestock grazes, where animals feed, pasture. But that word pasture is very closely related to our word pastor. In fact, they both come from the same Latin root, and that root means a feeder of stock or a tender of the flock. A feeder of stock or the tender of a flock. In other words, in Latin, the word pastor means shepherd. Pastor, shepherd, they're closely related. And that's why I say, I'm not really your pastor. I'm just a stand-in, a substitute, a surrogate, because your real shepherd is the Lord. I mean, we just read that, right? The Lord is my shepherd. Your real shepherd, your real pastor is the Lord, which makes all of us, including me, sheep. So, bah. We're all sheep. How does it feel to be referred to as sheep? From what I know about sheep, I can tell you this, it's not really a compliment. Sheep aren't all that bright. They're not very smart animals. In the animal world, when I think of wisdom, I think of an owl, right? And if I think of smarts and cunning, you think of a fox. But when you think of sheep, when I think of sheep, I just think of bah. I mean, there's nothing outstanding about sheep. They're not all that bright. They're not all that beautiful. They're not all that brave. There's not even that much that makes one sheep distinctive from another. They kind of all look the same. And sheep are some of the dumbest animals on the face of the earth. And this is also true about sheep, especially domesticated sheep. Sheep are totally lost without their shepherd. Sheep are totally lost without their shepherd. This is Shrek the sheep. The sheep itself is not fat. That's just all the wool. Shrek the sheep was found back in 2004. He was hiding in a cave in New Zealand, and he had been ducking in there for years, avoiding his shepherd and avoiding being sheared. The thing is, when they finally did shear Shrek, there was enough wool to make 20 men's suits out of the wool from Shrek. But the thing is, if he hadn't been found when he was, then the fact that Shrek had not been sheared would have killed him. Because that wool gets so heavy, if a sheep with this much wool on it rolls over on its back, it can't get back on its feet because the wool is too heavy and it's not strong enough. You can't even see this sheep's feet. It's so woolly. And because of all that wool, if the temperature rises outside, it can cause sheep to have heat exposure. And the other thing, when the wool grows that much, it covers the eyes. It's called wool blindness. And so when a sheep in the wild, without its shepherd, gets wool blindness, it can't see predators. It's completely vulnerable. Not only can it not see predators, it can't see other dangers like cliffs. And so it's really, it's dangerous. Sheep, I'll say it again, sheep are totally lost without their shepherd. Now, sheep absolutely need the care. They need the shepherd to be able to shear them. They need the shepherd to care for them. They need shepherd for guidance, to know the way to food and water. And they need the protection of their shepherd. After all, what natural defense does a sheep have? They're not all that fast or agile, so they can't really outrun a predator. Their teeth are only good for grazing, really, so they can't bite all that well. And their kick isn't really that strong. It's not like a mule or a horse. They're pretty much defenseless. They don't have a chance against a predator unless they've got a shepherd. So sheep, they're not all that bright. Sheep are dependent. Sheep are defenseless. They're totally dependent on their shepherd. And the 23rd Psalm says that our Lord is our shepherd, and we are like sheep. Do you like to think of yourselves that way? Do you like to think of yourself as defenseless and dependent? I doubt very many of us really like the sound of that. We like to, I'm independent and I can take care of myself. But no, if we're sheep, then we are dependent and defenseless. Back in 2008, 2009, after the economy collapsed, I'll never forget this conversation I had with an older pastor friend of mine. We were talking about how a lot of churches were struggling because all of a sudden people didn't have expendable income and people weren't giving like they were. A lot of churches' budgets were behind and they were having to cut. And so we were talking about this, and my pastor friend said, you know, it is bad. But the thing about this economy, as bad as it is, it has made preaching a lot easier. And I said, how in the world has the economy collapsed and made preaching any easier? If anything, I think the opposite. Why do you think it's made preaching easier? He said, well, I've spent my entire life trying to convince people that they need God. But it's kind of hard when they have master's degrees. And how am I supposed to convince somebody they need God when they have $300,000, $400,000, $500,000 homes and they've got big saving accounts and insurance policies and large 401ks? But ever since the economy collapsed and people's portfolios got cut in half, there's been this new realization that we are vulnerable. And it's been a lot easier to convince people that we're not self-reliant, independent people. We're starting to realize now that we need God. Maybe another way to put that would be, whether we realize it or not, we're totally lost without our shepherd. That's why I like the way the New Living Version translates this verse. It says this: "The Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. The Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need." Now, we all know that from the King James: "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want." But it's not so much that I shall not want, because our culture teaches us that we should never stop wanting. There's no end to the wanting. Our culture teaches us that we should always be striving for new and improved, bigger and better. It's not so much that I shall not want. It's that the Lord is my shepherd. I already have everything I need because the Lord is my shepherd. Maybe another way to put it would be, the Lord is my shepherd. How could I ask for anything else? That is sufficient. It's easy to believe that stuff, that living in the right neighborhood, driving the right car, your kids getting into the right colleges, it's easy to believe that those things will bring us fulfillment. But we weren't created for those things. We were created for relationship with our shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. I already have everything I need. Earlier I said that Psalm 23 is often thought of as a funeral passage. And I think that came to be because of verse 4. And the way most of us learned verse 4, it was like this: "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." But our translation this morning, the New Living Translation, says it just a little bit differently. It says, "Even when I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me. Your rod and your staff protect and comfort me." Occasionally, in the middle of the night at my house, somebody will have a bad dream. Probably happens, or at least happened at some point in your houses too. Sometimes it'll happen. Somebody will have a bad dream, and all of a sudden, they're afraid of the dark, and they can't go back to sleep, and I'll have to go in and say, "Heather, you're 38 years old. It's..." That was easier to say at 8:30 when she wasn't sitting right there. But now, occasionally I have to go into one of our children's bedrooms and just lie down for a bit, maybe hold a hand. And it usually doesn't take long, and they'll be sound asleep again. Now, I don't do anything about the darkness. It's still dark. And I can't do anything about the scary dream that they just had. I can't make those thoughts of the dream go away. But I am there, present. And for my children, the presence of their father is enough to take away fear. Right now, in our congregation, we have some folks who are walking through dark valleys. Some addiction, divorce, bad diagnosis, grief. We even have some folks who at this very moment are walking through the valley of the shadow of death. And it's not going to be long. And in the darkest valleys of our lives, there is something about knowing that our shepherd is close beside us. There's just something about knowing that our shepherd has promised never to leave us or forsake us. There's something about knowing that our shepherd is walking alongside us. And there's just something about the presence of our Father that takes away fear. The Lord is my shepherd. I already have everything I need. Even when I walk through the darkest valleys, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me. Of course, there are times when we don't feel all that close to God, right? There are times when God doesn't seem to be close beside us, when it feels like God may be far away. And in those times, what do you think? Do you think that the shepherd has left us? Or do you think that we sheep have strayed from our shepherd? One of my favorite hymns in the hymnal, I know we don't sing out of that very much in this service, but one of my favorite hymns is number 400, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing. And one line of that hymn goes like this: prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Sheep most definitely are prone to wander. They get out there in the field and they start grazing and they get distracted. They don't pay attention to what's going on around them. And pretty soon they've wandered off and they've strayed far enough that they are lost, separated from their shepherd. And when they get separated from the shepherd, they can wander into danger very quickly. I remember wandering when I was 6 or 7 years old. Everybody in here has got a story like this, I bet. But mine took place in Roses. Do you remember Roses? Some of us remember Roses. I was in Roses. I was 6 or 7 years old. I was with my mom. She was shopping, and she was looking at clothes, and I got distracted by the sporting goods section. And I was walking down looking at rods and reels and all kinds of stuff, and I made the corner and went into another aisle, and all of a sudden I realized that I didn't know where my mom was anymore. And I panicked. I went back to where she had been, but she wasn't there anymore. And then I really panicked. I start running around, and all these racks and shelves are much taller than I am, and they tower over me, and I have no idea where my mom is. If it had been completely up to me, I don't know that I would have ever found my way back to my mom. But thankfully, it wasn't completely up to me, because my mama had already figured out that I was lost. And you better believe that she was coming, looking for me with urgency. She was coming to find me. I heard her before I saw her. I heard her calling my name. And when I heard that, when I heard her voice, I knew I was safe. That brings me to my favorite verse in this passage, Psalm 23. You know it like this: surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The reason this is my favorite verse in this psalm is that a few years ago, I learned something that changed the way I read this entire passage. I learned that the Hebrew word that is translated in the King James Version as follow is really much more active than that. Follow just doesn't quite lift the luggage of what this verb is really saying. The Hebrew word is just much more urgent. It's like a mother looking for her child in Roses. I mean, there's some urgency here. The Hebrew word is radaf. You probably all knew that, right? You can read Hebrew. This is radaf. That's really how you say it, with that little radaf. Radaf should be translated pursue or chase. You see the difference in that and follow? Follow, you can kind of meander along behind, but pursue? Chase, that's more urgent. That's more active. That's That's really how this should be translated. That's why I like the way the New Living translates it. It says this, "Surely your goodness and unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will live in the house of the Lord forever." Makes me think of a time where Jesus was talking about shepherds. And he described this one shepherd who had 100 sheep, and out of that 100 sheep flock, one of the sheep strayed away, wandered, and got lost. And that shepherd immediately left the 99 to radaf, to pursue, to chase, to track down that one lost sheep. That shepherd would stop at nothing to track that sheep down and save it, rescue it. That shepherd was relentless. In 1917, Francis Thompson published a poem entitled "The Hound of Heaven." The Hound of Heaven. And that was Thompson's image for God. God is like a bloodhound who is constantly on our heels, tracking us down, pursuing relationship with us. Surely your goodness and unfailing love will radaf, will pursue, will chase, will track me down all the days of my life, and I will live in the house of the Lord forever. Occasionally, somebody will come up to me and ask me, "Pastor Michael, do you think," and you can fill in the blank here, all kinds of religious and non-religious groups, "do you think that Hindus or Buddhists or Muslims or atheists, Pastor Michael, do you think that they will be saved?" And no matter who the person or group is, my answer is always the same. My answer is, thankfully, that's not up to me. I don't get to make those calls. I don't get to make those decisions. Only God can answer that question. I wouldn't even hazard a guess because I know, well, here's what I know, and it's kind of hold these things in tension. Here's what I know. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but by me." And Jesus says that God, that He is the good shepherd. He's the kind of shepherd who will turn more than just Rose's department store upside down when it comes to finding a lost sheep. He's the kind of shepherd who will stop at nothing, who will leave the 99 and call out the search party. He'll be in hot pursuit. This is the kind of shepherd who is relentless to track down those sheep who have wandered away and gotten lost. Jesus is that kind of shepherd. When one of Jesus' sheep gets lost, He takes that very personally. And He'll turn the world upside down for that sheep. So despite all the bad things we think about sheep, they're not all that bright, they're not all that powerful, they're not all that distinctive, they're not all that beautiful. Despite all that, knowing the kind of shepherd we have makes me glad to be a sheep. The Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. Amen.